M Sports presents the Pizza Ranch Saturday Morning Coaches Show with Sports Director Jeff Blankman.
Thank you very much, John, and good Saturday morning, everybody. Welcome here to the Pizza Ranch Coaches Show. We'll be on until 9 o'clock or so this morning. Got a lot of things to get to. Of course, we're going to talk with Ryan Steinkamp. They knocked off Southeast Valley last night. We'll talk with Craig Rowetter of the Carroll Tigers. They beat, again, Sioux Center. We'll also talk a little Kuemper Cross Country. Thomas Nelson and the Kuemper Cross Country teams hosted the Hawkeye 10 earlier this week. We'll talk Carroll Volleyball with head coach Riley Ludwig. We'll talk Kuemper Volleyball with head coach Rusty Wintermote, and we'll talk Carroll Swimming again with Deb Danner. They're on their way down to Lewis Central today. Don't forget our Player of the Game banners from all four of our broadcasts last night, available on our CB Sports Network website, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram pages. The audio broadcast from the games last night, available, those radio broadcasts on the website. You can also find the audio broadcast of the Arweva win over Booyer Valley last night on the CB Sports Network YouTube channel. Again, game recaps, so with scores and stats from all of last night's football, plus all of today's activity will be typed up on the Brinks Exterior Sports Report over the weekend, and the New Way Ford Scoreboard Show from last night, that is podcasted on the website as well. Let's start with the scoreboard from last night here in Class 3A District 1. It was Carroll over Sioux Center 27-7. It was MOC Floyd Valley blanking Roy Knoll Rock Valley 37-0. And Sergeant Ball of Luton defeated Bishop Helin 42-23. Class 2A District 8, Kuemper rolls in the second half to beat Southeast Valley 34-12. Roland Story tops Sadel 55-8, and Greene County edges Des Moines Christian 14-13. Class 1A District 2, Sioux Central Sioux Rapids over East Sac 42-26. It was Manson Orthos Webster topping Emmitsburg in overtime 20-14. Pocahontas Area knocks off Eagle Grove 40-28. Class A District 7, Earlham upends South Central Calhoun 21-19. Loma outscores Icam Manning 42-28. ACGC down Southwest Valley. It was Riverside 44-6 over Panorama. That ACGC score was 40-7. Eight-man District 1, Arweva routes Booyer Valley 35-6 to clinch a playoff berth. St. Mary's of Remsen shuts out West Harrison 67-0. Woodbine cruises by East Mills 76-6, and Newell Fonda downs Siouxland Christian 43-16. Eight-man District 9, Audubon over Baxter 50-26. Colonesco tops Coon Rapids Bear 36-22. Collins Maxwell over East Union 56-26, and St. Edmund beats Glidden Ralston 26-12. Now, the playoff pairings will not be announced until 10 o'clock this morning. I'll get those posted to the website as quickly as I can this morning, but I do want to give you the qualifiers, and again, from our area here, of course, in Class 2A District 8, it's Kuemper, Roland Story, Greene County, and Des Moines Christian in that order of seeds. District 7, Van Meter, Clarinda, Centerville, and Sheraton. We're going to move now to Class 1A. OABCIG, Ridgeview, Hinton, and West Sioux from District 1. District 2, it's Manson, Northwest Webster, Emmitsburg, Sioux Central, and East Sac County. And then, of course, we've got District 8. You got Trainer, AHSD, Avoca, Walnut, Underwood, and Shenandoah also making it. Some of those, of course, are some of our conference schools. Class A tonight, District 7, ACGC, Riverside, Earlham, and then South Central Calhoun. District 6, Madrid, Mount Airy, Linville, Sully, and Wayne. And in District 8, Tri-Center, Woodbury Central, Loma, and St. Albert. In 8-player, District 1, St. Mary's of Remsen, Woodbine, and then Arweva. District 2 is Bishop Garrigan, GTRA, and West Bend Mallard. Now at District 9, it is Audubon, St. Edmunds, and Collins Maxwell, with District 10 being Fremont Mills, Cam, East Mills, and Exira Okrin Kimbledon getting in as an at-large team. Tripola also getting in as an at-large team. They were out of District number 4. And again, matchups will not come out until 10 o'clock this morning. We'll step away, take a break. We're going to come back, talk Kuemper football with Ryan Steinkamp next here on the Pizza Ranch Coaches Show.
When you need a quick meal or one on the go, your Carroll Pizza Ranch has great deals for carryout and delivery. Order online and get 8 pizzas of country's best chicken with potato wedges for only $20. How about 2 large pizzas for $25? Or get 2 medium single-topping pizzas, cheesy ranch sticks, and a cactus bread for just $20. Check out these deals and more at pizzaranch.com today and order hot and fresh. Pizza Ranch, located off Highway 30 in Carroll, open 7 days a week.
Whoa, that's good. The St. Anthony Clinic in Carroll now offers same-day appointments with Sarah Gredman, PA, and Kendra Peter, ARMP. Same-day appointments are available Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. So if you're needing to see a medical professional, even if you have a sore throat or a cough, fever, cuts, earaches, or your child isn't feeling well, you can get a same-day appointment by calling St. Anthony Clinic at 792-2222. St. Anthony Regional Hospital. Always look to the cross. Always St. Anthony.
Pizza Ranch Coaches Show here on this Saturday morning. Jeff Blankman talking right now with Kemper head football coach Ryan Steinkamp. Of course, we already knew they were in the postseason, but last night they wrapped up their seventh straight win to wrap up the regular season. Coach, good to catch up with you on this Saturday morning. Have you taken a breath yet after last night's win?
Thanks for having me, Jeff. Oh, yeah, a little bit. You know, got relaxed on the way home a little bit because nothing I can worry about because you don't know who we're playing yet.
Yeah, that doesn't come out until about 10 o'clock this morning. So, Coach, it's kind of becoming a running joke with us here a little bit. I always ask you about the next opponent, and you always say that, you know, you don't pay attention to that until, you know, after the game's over. Last night you said that your assistants would have it up on the whiteboard. What did they have on the whiteboard when you got back to town last night?
Oh, nothing yet. It's a lot of talking so far. You know, a lot of speculation. Now it's just everybody's just guessing.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's talk about last night's win. You guys, it was a 7-0 lead at halftime. You go out and get things rolling in the second half, though. You win it 34-12 to wrap up that 7-1 regular season. Let's talk first half. We talked a little bit about it last night. It wasn't that the offenses for both teams really weren't moving the football some in the first half. The defenses were bending and not breaking. They missed a field goal. You guys turned it over on downs deep in their territory. So what was working offensively? And then on the flip side, because I know you're the defensive coach as well as the head coach for Kemper, how were you guys able to stop them when they were moving the ball when they got deep into your territory?
Yeah, you know, the offense did a good job of just, you know, getting 3, 4, 5 yards, and then we kind of stalled out a few times. Or, you know, they did a good job of jumping some pass routes, making some pass breakups. And then defensively, you know, like I said, they did a good job. I mean, we did a nice job stopping the run. But, you know, we were kind of, our secondaries played a little bit more of, you know, the deep passes. They kind of showed that a lot last week. So we were kind of ready for more, you know, some deeper routes or some crossing routes. And they kind of picked apart in the short game. So, you know, again, 7, 10 yards on the little hitch routes and stuff like that, too. We were there to make the tackle, but, you know, tip your cap to them for making those plays.
Coach, now, we knew that they were going to want to throw the football some. They were somewhat balanced on offense. Were you surprised at how quickly they went away from the run game in a way, or did you think that would be the game plan?
They've kind of shown that, you know, they definitely want to run the ball first. If they're not having much success there, then they'll start to air it out a little bit. And I thought our front guys did a nice job of stopping the run.
What was impressive for you about the way the defensive front played again last night?
I thought linebackers did a great job. You know, they definitely got us a few times in the first half. The second half, you know, I thought all four linebackers did a nice job being more aggressive, and D-line did a nice job of being more gap sound.
One guy that seemed to be in the backfield a lot last night, Sean Healy. What have you seen from him, and how is he able to seem to get so much pressure into the backfield?
He's kind of raw. He's all gas, no brakes. So sometimes he flies out there and he gets himself in trouble. Sometimes he gets too far upfield, but he also disrupts a lot of things too. So it's kind of a risk reward. But yeah, he did a nice job last night.
How did you adjust to the short passing game? We talked a little bit about that last night for the New Way Auto Group scoreboard show. But what adjustments did you guys make to maybe take away a little bit of that short passing game?
We just kind of bumped the linebacker out to collision a little bit more, and then kind of brought the safeties down a little bit.
You guys, a couple of interceptions last night, had another one. How special would that have been for Carson Canny in his last game of the regular season of his senior year to get a pick six that was about 100 yards long last night?
That would have been pretty awesome. You know, I know they called us for a holding call, and it was probably the right call. You know, kind of a 50-51 that, you know, like, it'd be great if they didn't call it, but they did. But, yeah, that, you know, they're a little winded after that play.
Yeah, so I remember the long pass that he caught, you know, against AHSD of Oka Walnut early, and you could tell as he got down the field that the linebacker or the D-back almost caught him because you were kind of joked that he was a little bit gassed. I thought he was able to stride out a little bit better last night as not as many guys chasing him.
Yeah, it was a great play.
What really jumped out to me, and I don't think the hold got on him, but he looked like he broke on that route really well.
Yeah, he did a good job. He's doing a really nice job being that free safety for us, too. So it was a great play by him.
Coach, offensively struggled in the first half. I think I had Parker like 4 of 14 or Brock, excuse me, a 4 of 14 in the first half throwing the football. You guys were able to get some running game going with Jaron Hoffman, but second half the passing game looked a little crisper. You took the opening drive down, scored. What started to click offensively in the second half, especially through the air?
They're bringing a lot of pressure. You know, they're bringing 6-7 guys too. So then we started just hitting some nice window routes. I think, you know, we talked to the kids at halftime, what they saw out there. You know, they're the ones playing, and they hit some nice window routes on the guys.
Coach, don't want to give up too much. You know, I'm doubting whoever you play in the opening round of the postseason is going to be probably picking up and listening to our coaches show here this morning. But you guys seem to really have a lot of success with that passing game across the middle of the field. What is it with that you guys seem to be able to hurt defenses with that?
I think it's just, you know, our passing game in general is, you know, our kids practice, watch that film too, and just kind of hit the spots where we can be successful, and that's just them making plays.
Got to talk about the onside kick. Ryan Igo last night, it barely got 10 yards, but it got there. I mean, were you over there blowing, trying to get it that last couple of inches?
I think the kids are waving their arms a little bit. No, that was a great kick and a great job by our kids making that play.
Was that something you guys talked about at halftime? If we score first, you know, to start the second half, get up 14-0, we're going to try this?
It was in the back of our minds a little bit, yeah.
Big time to get it. You guys ended up going for the touchdown in the first play after that, didn't get it, but you do score to go up 21-0. Did you feel like at that point that we're in total control now?
I wouldn't say total control too, but no, it was a great bounce back from the first half. You know, we come out like that, the start of the second half that we did, you know, it would have been great if we could start a game like that too, but it's okay for a guy's facing the first team and come back from it. So, yeah, I was pretty proud of the start of that second half.
Coach, they score then on their next drive to cut it to 21-6. Did you feel you needed to answer at that point?
You know, we just need a good drive there. You know, I know the wind was playing a factor a little bit. We just need to put a good drive together too, and the kids did a great job marching down.
I know we don't know who you're playing yet. Coming up on Friday night, we know you're hosting, but I'm sure it matters to you at some point because you got a game plan. But what will be the focus for you guys in practice this week? Probably as much about yourself as it is about whoever you'll find out later this morning that you're going to play.
Sure. We'll look at the game film from Friday night and just kind of see where we can grow. You know, what point of view, we always kind of do some positives and minuses or things we would do well, things we can work on. And then we'll be kind of focusing on towards our opponent. It's going to be someone new that we haven't played or seen yet. So, yeah, we'll start gearing towards how we can hopefully be successful and do our best.
Everybody that I talked to with your assistants last night said either Northwest or East. Does it matter to you?
No, you know, I mean, it's playoff time. You got to play whoever, kind of whoever, whenever, wherever. You know, our kids are just excited about this opportunity.
Well, Coach, as always, we appreciate you joining us here on this Saturday morning. Enjoy the weekend, and we look forward to hearing from you and talking to you again next week.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot, Jeff, for having me.
You bet. Head Coach Ryan Steinkamp again with the Kemper Knight football team. Again, they pick up a 34-12 victory again last night over Southeast Valley. Back with more of the Pizza Ranch Coaches Show next year on KCIM.
Unbelievable deals from your Carroll Hy-Vee. Basket and bushel strawberries, only $2.49. 24-pack Pepsi products, $9.99. Frito-Lay Fritos, salsa, or queso dip, only $2.99. And Hy-Vee Midwest Pork Top Loin Chop or tenderized pork chop, just 99 cents. All weekend long at your Carroll Hy-Vee.
Craig Rowetter, of course, the head football coach with the Carroll Tigers, joining us on this Saturday morning. It's the Pizza Ranch Coaches Show. Week 8 is in the books. The Tigers keep their playoff hopes alive with the 27-7 win last night over Sioux Center. They head to Boyden Hall, Rock Valley, coming up this Friday night, and we'll talk with Coach a little bit about that. But, Coach, congrats on the win last night, and thanks for joining us here early on this Saturday morning.
You bet, Jeff. As always, appreciate all the coverage you guys give us. And yeah, it was a good one last night. Good to get back in the win column.
You bet, Coach. I got to ask. You know, you and I were chatting during the commercial break, and this is a program that kind of had your number the last 3 years. They go down and score early. Kind of a good response by your ball club this year.
Yeah, and you know, we knew. You know, it's not hard to look up records. We knew they had one win coming in. But if they were in a different, pretty much any other district around, they'd have a lot more than one win. You know, they're so extremely well coached up there. And, And again, as the season goes on, they're always getting better. So it was pretty easy to keep the guys' attention this week when, you know, at film, the first film on Monday, when I'm like, there's nobody in this room that has beaten Sioux Center. So, you know, get ready to go. And then they definitely had our eyes open when they were able to drive down the score on their first possession. And but again, credit to our kids, like especially the seniors, how they have all year, you know, responded and didn't panic. They just moved on the next play, and then we kind of settled in from there.
What worked for them that they were able to move the ball? Because the defense shut them down really the rest of the game.
Yeah, they just hit us on a long pass. Again, it was a little more. I thought the wind was going to die down earlier than what it did. The first quarter was still pretty heavy with the wind, and they had it at their back. So, but again, we were geared up to stop the run. And so credit to them and their coaches. You know, they had a good little shot play where they just got behind us and kind of won a jump ball. I mean, we had coverage, was there. Their guy was 6'2", and our guy was not. So it wasn't like it was a busted coverage or anything. And, you know, we just went back to work after that and never panicked and kind of took care of things from there.
Sounds like maybe the run game got going for you. What worked offensively?
Yeah, they did a really good job of moving their front around. You know, they ran that 3-3 stack, so they aren't going to just be sitting ducks. You know, they're always moving. And but again, with the veteran offensive line, you know, that we're fortunate to have, we had seen it last year, and we've seen forms of it this year, so they kind of know how to communicate who takes who, if they slant in front of you or if they, you know, twist or stunt out of it. So once we kind of got bearings after our first drive, it kind of just took over from there. And again, once Tayden gets going, he's tough to, he's going to get your 2-3 yards after contact every time.
Coach, how quickly did you guys get the lead in the game?
We went down and scored. So after they scored, we answered it and then got a 3-and-out. And then we're able to drive down again in the second quarter. And scored on we were in the red zone, and again, we had run the ball the whole way down. And so then kind of caught them. I don't know if they were really napping or not, but we hit Reese on a quick little vertical route out of his slot position where they were kind of still peeking in the backfield looking for Tayden to run the ball. And Reese, we had seen that, you know, coming in, we kind of scouted that look, and we got the look that we thought. So it was a good little red zone shot, and you know, when we're able, did miss a 2-point conversion, but we're able to take the 13-7 lead at half.
Coach, did they ever threaten you guys after that opening drive?
There was one other drive where they, again, number three, the Elf kid, he runs hard, man, and we kind of sent an all-out blitz against a certain formation, and he broke, man, I don't even know how many. It was five, maybe six tackles. He just kept running down the sideline, and our guys kind of thought they'd bump him out, but he wasn't having it. So, we eventually got him out. But I think they got down to, inside the – they were in the red zone, and then they had a couple penalties that pushed them out, and then we were able to turn them over on downs. And then we actually capitalized off that with our a third touchdown. And that kind of was the – I felt like that didn't – wasn't the nail in the coffin, but that definitely, you could see the momentum was all on our side after that.
How'd you score on that one then?
Tayden just kind of bullied his way in from short yardage. So we finally broke out. Like I told Tom last night, we've been working on a tackle counter play with Logan Mencken since week one. And I promised him all year that we would get it, and we're running out of time here. So we gave him he did get a first down off of it. We were inside the 10, and he got us down to the 2, and then we ran it again and got to the 1, but then Tayden ended up getting the glory. But Logan had a shot.
I was going to say it was the power of that Rewind shirt that he was wearing the other day at school that helped him get that, right?
That could be, yeah. But the handoffs were clean, and he had good ball security, so that was all you can ask out of an offensive tackle.
When did you guys get that last touchdown to put that nail in the coffin?
It was in the fourth quarter with about, I think there was 7 or 8 minutes. I'd have to go back and look. But then, again, our defense, you know, it was a quick three and out, and then we were able to kind of run out the rest of the clock. It was nice. We got some guys into it at Blake Bell, and we even got Carter Smith, a couple. He's usually just playing, had been focused on defense, but they were able to get some carries there at the end. So that was kind of cool, especially on senior night, just to get those guys that have put so much time, you know, and effort into our program, just to kind of reward those guys. We did take a knee at the very end, but it was fun to get those guys some carries at the end.
Coach, a lot of different scenarios that you guys can look at to figure out if you're still going to get into the playoffs. You got to win, though, next week. So I get the game up at Boyden Hall, Rock Valley. You're on the road. What do you got to do to go up there and get a win?
You know, just stay focused. And we, the kids did such a good job this week about it, too, because it's easy to say, well, they have one win. You know, it should be a gimme. But, again, just a couple of years ago, we were in that boat, you know, kind of playing spoiler for Sergeant Bluff came down, and I think they just had to win, and they were district champs. And we ended up knocking them off and then knocking them out of the playoffs. So we're treating it like week two of the playoffs. This was week one, and, you know, last night was week one. So, you know, it's just to stay focused. They're Boyden Hall, you know, they're a couple of years removed of a state title game. They have struggled a little bit this year, but they'll play hard. I'm assuming it'll be their senior night. Plus, we don't have school, and plus it's a three-hour bus ride up to the outskirts of South Dakota. So, you know, so there'll be plenty of obstacles for us, but I am confident that our guys will take care of business, and then we'll just kind of see how things play out. And unfortunately, it's a little bit out of our hands there, but, you know, there wasn't anything too crazy last night score-wise. It kind of played out kind of how we thought it would.
Well, Coach, as always, we appreciate all the time. Congratulations on the win, and looking forward to catching up with you next week and then making that travel up to South Dakota with you guys to watch the game and call the game next week.
You bet. Hopefully I don't know if they'll get you some kind of they should get you some sort of a charter jet or something, maybe. tell Pete.
That would be nice.
Pony up and get that going. And I'll ride with you then, and I can... Nago can have the bus.
You may have more pull than me, so go ahead. I'll give you his number.
I'll give a try and let you know.
But, all right.
No, we're looking forward to having you up there. And, again, thanks for all the coverage. And go Tigers.
Head coach Craig Rowetter again with the Carroll Tigers, back with more from the Pizza Ranch Coaches Show here on KCIM.
A highlight condo from your Mid-Iowa real estate team. 325 East Pleasant Ridge Road. 3-bedroom, 2.5-bath condo with open floor plan and vaulted ceilings. Beautiful built-ins in the living room along with a fireplace, main level laundry, ample storage, and a 2-car garage. Open house this Sunday, October 20th from 11 to 1. All of this at 325 East Pleasant Ridge Road with a new price of $340,000. This is Brandon Snyder with another quality offering from Mid-Iowa Real Estate Team. Take your tour at midiowateam.com.
When you need a quick meal or one on the go, your Carroll Pizza Ranch has great deals for carryout and delivery. Order online and get 8 pizzas of country's best chicken with potato wedges for only $20. How about 2 large pizzas for $25? Or get 2 medium single topping pizzas, cheesy ranch sticks, and a cactus bread for just $20. Check out these deals and more at pizzaranch.com today and order hot and fresh. Pizza Ranch, located off Highway 30 in Carroll, open 7 days a week.
Whoa, that's good.
Thomas Nelson, the Oscar head cross country coach with the Cameron Knights, joining us here on the Pizza Rancho Coaches Show. The Knights hosted the Hawkeye 10 conference meet out of the Carroll Muni earlier this week. Coach, appreciate you joining us here. First of all, and second, great job for you and the entire staff that helped out with that meet out there. It was a windy day, but turned out to be a really nice race.
Yeah, it was a great time, and thank you for having me here. I always enjoy it. You know, I wanted to shout out a big thank you to our AD, Mr. Power, Dennis Borman, Jim Molitor, Ken Massey, who painted and drove the front cart, Tim Fitzpatrick. They did an awesome job. They did pretty much all the work organizing the meet, and it ran really well. We got a lot of really positive reviews. So I want to thank them for all the hard work they put in. And then we had a lot of people volunteer to sit at cones and stuff, and you know, from the community, teachers, stuff like that, and without them, it wouldn't have ran so smooth. So thank you to those people and our parents who helped out, because I think we put a really good impression for how Kemper can host the meet.
You bet. I think you're going to be hosting several more probably in the future. I do got to give Ken Massey a little bit of a hard time, though. Noticed him doing some dance moves as he was driving that cart around yesterday. So, you know, didn't realize that Ken had the skills.
What can you say?
Yeah. Didn't know he had those dancing skills. So, Coach, not just a good day, you know, and well-run event, and it was, but it was a good day. We'll start with the boys. A third-place finish. You were just 4 points away from tying Red Oak for second, you know, and stuff, and maybe being the second-place team in the conference, but still an outstanding job by the boys. Dayton Weeder and Legend in eighth. Fletch Bating was 12th, and then you had a collection of guys in the 20s with Evan Schaefer 23rd, Wyatt Wunschel 28th, Thomas Bottomham 29th, and Jacob McCarger finished in 32nd for your top six guys. I got the sense you were really pretty pleased with how everybody ran.
Yeah, I thought the varsity did a great job. You know, we kind of had place ranges for most of those guys, and they really all fell right towards the middle or the front of where they were supposed to be. You know, Weeds did a really good job getting out with the right group of guys to go with, got out fast, and pretty much just held his position the entire race. I thought Fletch did a really good job. Fletch didn't get out quite as fast as Weeds, but he knew where he was supposed to finish, and throughout the first mile, he just worked his way up to where he needed to be. And it's just really continued having a great season over the last couple races. Evan Schaefer did a good job. You know, he's been talking about trying to hang a bit more with Fletch in the race. He got out there. He wasn't quite able to hang with him for as long as he wanted, I don't think. But he did a good job getting, you know, being our third runner and getting 23rd. Wyatt and Tom, I thought, just did a really good job as far as going and pushing each other. Wyatt's goal for a while has been just stay close to Tom, just stay close to Tom, because he knows Tom's a really consistent runner. And he was able to stick with him, and those two had a great race at the end. We're still debating who actually passed the other, whether Tom finished first or Wyatt did. Wyatt got 28th place, but him and Tom both said they're pretty confident Tom actually was ahead of him. So I think it was by like 0.03 seconds. And I just thought both those guys did really well, and that's another PR for Wyatt. He's just really trending the right direction. I wouldn't be shocked if he PRs again next week, too. Jacob McCarger got a PR for us. And then Cohen Stipa, we talked about, you know, he's our seventh guy, and I kind of said it's pretty cool. Our seventh guy could finish in the top half of the Hawkeye 10. And he just finished just outside of it, but for a lot of other teams, he'd be like a five or six runner. Same thing with Charlie and Oliver, who got 4 or 5 in the JV race. Those guys are running varsity on a lot of other teams. So just really happy to see our depth guys perform really well. And our JV, I had said, you know, hey, guys, I said at the beginning of the race, hey, let's make a goal. Let's be top four. And they were like, yesterday you said top five. And I said, well, let's push ourselves a little. Let's be top four. And a lot of kids ran really well. Simon P, they got a PR, and they got fourth and were really – happy with that, and I thought that was a great kind of end of the season for a lot of those guys.
And Coach, very windy out there on Thursday, especially on the back nine. That's where I spent most of my time when I was there. I'm guessing, though, front nine a little less windy, but still probably windy. How was the course overall for the wind?
It was windy, but you know, kind of just like hills, every time you run up one, you go down another. Every time the wind in your face, once you make a turn, it's at your back. And we talked to kids about, hey, you know, when it's in your face, if you're close to someone, tuck in right behind them. Let them just take a little of that off you, especially, you know, when you're in those big packs, that you can help yourself just a little there and pass, you know, when the wind's at your back. And I think kids did a pretty good job of that. And as windy as it was, I don't think I had one kid after the race complain about the wind. I think they were just more focused and happy about their performances.
Let's bounce over to the girls. They finished ninth as a team yesterday. Casey Weeder, and as she seems to have done all year, led them with the 28th place finish. Addie Davis ran well, finishing in 40th. Shelby Graving, 46th. Logan Lee, I think you said, ran a PR and finished in 51st. Anna Seidel, 52nd. And Madeline Sigebert, 55th. But I know in talking with you during the commercial break before, you know, the show got started here today, that you kind of were – the girls all ran really good times and some of the best maybe overall group times that you've had for a while.
Yeah, as far as I was really happy, you know, with pretty much how all the girls ran. I thought Casey, as always, has done a good job, you know, leading the pack. And Addie, as you mentioned, that first mile, she really put herself out there and put herself in position to run a really solid race. On average, our girls' times are down significantly from a year ago. You know, Marie was always way out there, but then it was kind of, and Julia Caney was always way out there. Then there's a big kind of separation between the rest of the pack. And we've got more girls capable of running the 23s, 24s this year than we've had in a long time. And even our average JV times are down. So I was just really happy with girls varsity through JV and seeing that, you know, throughout the year, we've seen a lot of improvement. And our goal was, you know, to be 9, 10, 8, 9, 10, and them getting 9, I thought was really good in a really competitive meet.
Coach, you mentioned, and you and I were talking, that Addie was kind of right there with Casey earlier on. You like to see that with her because you think that will really benefit her in the future.
Yeah, I just think it's awesome to see her really pushing herself. And that, like, that's where she wants to be. She knows where she wants to be. She wants to be way up there in the races. And, you know, she only fell back about 12 places last night. But if she continues to put herself out there and continues to run, you know, the first miles like that, she's just going to get stronger and stronger and going to be able to hang on longer and longer and get closer and closer to Casey. So I just like seeing that because I really think that's her showing, hey, I'm locked into this race. Like, I came to race today, not just to run.
Coach, what about the boys and girls takeaway from Thursday for next week over at Ames? They're going to be running. Gilbert's going to be the host school, but it's going to be at the Iowa State Cross Country Course. So what do they take away to help them at the state qualifying meet?
So our biggest takeaway for state qualifying is we just had a really solid meet. You know, we can't affect how any other team's going to run next Wednesday at Gilbert. We just have to try to run our absolute best races. And I feel like our kids are going to feel confident in being able to do that because we've strung a couple of really good races together in a row. Gilbert's also relatively flat, and we just ran a really flat course. So I think our kids are going to be really confident that we can have a good day on Wednesday.
Coach, thoughts on getting Gilbert as the host school and running where you were at?
You know, we figured it was Gilbert or Harlan. And for us, like, location doesn't matter. You know, it's going to be a difficult meet. There's a lot of really solid teams there. You've got Gilbert, you've got MOC Floyd Valley, you got Sioux Center, Storm Lake, Nevada. It's going to be really competitive, and that's going to give us an opportunity to really challenge ourselves. So I think it's something we should look forward to.
Well, Coach, as always, we appreciate you joining us here today. Congratulations on an outstanding meet again on Thursday with the Hawkeye 10. Best of luck coming up next week, and we look forward to seeing you again soon.
Thank you very much. Have a great weekend.
You as well. Head coach again, Thomas Nelson with the Kemper Cross Country Teams. Back with more from the Pete's Ranch Coaches Show coming up here on KCIM.
Dries Company continues to grow, and that means they're hiring for both mechanical and plumbing apprentice positions. These are full-time positions that provide both excellent benefits and the opportunity for career growth and job stability. No previous experience is necessary, just a motivated, driven personality and an outstanding work ethic. If you're looking for a career, come join their growing team that rewards and values integrity and hard work. Apply online today at driesco.com or email your resume to service@driesco.com. Dries Company, family-owned and celebrating 91 years in business.
Animal Rescue of Carroll's hosting a drive-through dinner on Monday, October 21st at St. John's Lutheran Church from 5 to 6. It's a free will donation that'll get you a grilled ribeye chop, roasted red potatoes, corn, and a double chocolate brownie, plus a Culver's frozen custard cup. Help this amazing organization and all the animals that need a new home.
Back here on the Pizza Ranch Coaches Show on this Saturday morning, talking right now with head coach Riley Ludwig, of course, with the Carroll volleyball team. And coach, as always, congratulations on that win Thursday. Thanks for joining us here today.
Yes, thank you.
You bet, coach. A 1-1 week for you guys as you get ready for
postseason coming up on Tuesday. We'll talk about that matchup with Dennis and Schleswig coming up. But let's start with Thursday. You guys traveled over to Boone, picked up a sweep over there, really kind of running away from them in set three. But the first two kind of tight, especially the second set, going extra points as you win that one 27-25. What stood out for you about Thursday night?
I mean, our errors didn't pile up like they have been recently. When we made one or two in there, we got the ball back pretty close to in three every time. A couple times there, they got on some runs that we needed to stop a little bit earlier, but we got out of some of those quicker than we have been recently, so that's good.
Has that been the biggest thing you've talked with the girls about here lately, is not allowing those longer runs or as many of them as maybe as you had been?
Yeah, yes, and it's very rare that it's one person making, you know, multiple errors in a row. It's usually like it spreads, you know, one hitter will hit it in the net and then maybe we'll shank the next serve receive ball. maybe the next time on defense we don't pick up a ball we should have, or then another hitter will hit one out. It's like it spreads throughout the whole team, so we're figuring out how it's okay to make one and then kind of move on from that.
You think it's a confidence thing, or what do you attribute that to?
I'm not sure. I finally told him that we don't have to make the person that made the error feel better by making one yourself. We'll make him feel better by getting the ball back and getting the point, but it definitely could be a confidence thing.
How did you guys serve receive then on Thursday night?
It was good. We got the ball up. Amanda got quite a few kills there. Chloe did too. They got a couple good looks, so that, I mean, that tells me that if our middles are active, our serve receive was good enough to be able to get them the ball. So that, yeah.
Yeah, Amanda hit 235 for you that night, finished with seven kills. What was it with her performance that night?
She's starting to see the court really, really well. She had a couple tips in there that fell, and then those threes have been working for it really well.
Olivia Rowetter also led you with 11 kills, and it seems like, I jokingly said the other night against Carlisle, and we'll talk about that match here in a moment, that Analia Ayala came on late last season. She seems to be doing the same thing this year.
Yeah, she is starting to figure it out, especially over on the right side. You know, she sees the block, she uses the hands, she tools. She sees the court really well on both the outside and right side. She likes to tip that deep line, and that seems to be working for her too.
And then Olivia with 11 kills to lead you. She's kind of one of those important players. I think when she plays well, it kind of lifts up everybody else.
Yes, very true. Very true. And it seems like a couple of them kind of do that. You know, when somebody's on, everybody's on, and when somebody's off, we sometimes all fall off a little bit.
Had three different players, we kind of mentioned serve receive, but three different players with digs that were in double digits. Of course, led by Marison Wittrock with 19, and then Aubrey Drake and Olivia Rowetter both with 10. And you had another one, and Caitlin Aiden finishing up with 9, so almost 4. Just reading the ball well or defensively, were you guys getting the block up? I know the other night you kind of talked about the block maybe not getting where it need to be, but back row seemed like they played well, not just in serve receive, but in dig as well.
Yeah, the block got quite a few touches. It was closed, and the hitters had to hit around it, and our passers were in position. They were right there almost every time. And they got that ball up to Emily really nice.
And Chloe Cook, 6 blocks, had to bring that up. That's a really good number.
Yeah, she was right there all night. I don't know. I mean, she had some kills. She was just on last night. Really just lit a fire and did her job, and definitely had a presence last night, which was awesome, or two nights ago.
Coach, that 27-25 win in set two, what was the difference there that helped you get the win late?
I think we just picked up the energy, decided we wanted it. We like to make games close for some reason. You know, being up by 5-6 isn't good enough. We only want to be up by 2 or 3.
They just want to keep your heart rate up, right?
Yeah, they just, yeah.
Coach, let's bounce back to Tuesday. I know that was a disappointing one, especially that second set. And, you know, everybody has a set now and then that kind of gets away from them. And I think that's what happened in the second set. If you take that set out of Tuesday night, you end up losing to the ninth-ranked Wildcats 25-19 and 25-20. So competitive in sets 1 and 3. But as you went back and kind of looked at that one, what was kind of the reaction? I know I talked to you Tuesday, but what was the reaction after you had a chance to maybe go back and watch that one?
You know, they played well, really. To lose to a team by just, you know, 5-6 points is not bad. Set two definitely overtook a lot of what we were looking at that night. And I think if we had a little bit more energy and just, you know, cut down on some of our errors, they might have been a little bit of a different game. So, it's impressive how well they've been playing those ranked teams and staying with them and losing not by a ton, but just by a couple points here and there.
What did you learn about them after having that tough second set that they were able to bounce back and really be competitive in set three? Because sometimes if that happens, a team can kind of roll over and go, hey, we're down 2-0. We just got beat pretty good. Let's just go home. But they didn't seem to do that in the third set.
No, and that's something I've noticed this season is they can kind of throw it out the window, the set before, the game before, and just come out a whole new team, just ready to go, ready to compete, no matter what the score was, you know, the set before, the two sets before, the game before.
Coach, you guys sitting 17-17 overall. You end up 2-6 in the Raccoon River Conference this year as you head into postseason on Tuesday. Is it crazy to you, amazing to you, how fast this first year as a head coach has gone?
Yeah, I remember thinking in August, oh my gosh, that's so far away. And then we're here. So it went extremely fast. The girls have said a couple of times how fast the season has gone. It's crazy that, you know, freshmen and JV finished up their season on Thursday. And now it's just us.
And you guys taking on a Denison Schleswig team that you know. You saw them earlier this year beating them in 5 over in their gym. That was way back on September the 17th, you know, about a month or so ago. So what do you need to do? What's the game plan? What do you got to do to pick up a win on Tuesday night?
We got to show up and be ready to play, for sure. I mean, they're not going to make it easy on us by any means. And we've been improving. They've been improving. It's going to be tough, and we gotta show up to play and show up to win.
Anything you can use from that match, you know, a month ago, or do you figure that's a month ago and the two teams kind of different than, you know, what they were, you know, a month ago?
I mean, we gotta find ways to score up in the front row, use some back row options and see the court better. Use their block, get our block up, just some of those basics that I think we were not necessarily doing when we played the first time.
Well, Coach, as always, we appreciate all the time. Enjoy a weekend if you can. I don't think you have a volleyball tournament this weekend. I know last year you hit the freshman and JV tournaments and stuff. So enjoy a weekend off, kind of get refreshed, and best of luck coming up on Tuesday night.
Yes, thank you.
You bet. Head Coach Riley Ludwig again. With the Carroll Tiger volleyball team, we're back with more from the Pete Durant Coaches Show coming up here on KCIM.
The St. Anthony Clinic in Carroll now offers same-day appointments with Sarah Gredman, PA, and Kendra Peter, ARMP. Same-day appointments are available Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. So if you're needing to see a medical professional, even if you have a sore throat or a cough, fever, cuts, earaches, or your child isn't feeling well, you can get a same-day appointment by calling St. Anthony Clinic at 792-2222. St. Anthony Regional Hospital. Always look to the cross. Always St. Anthony.
Stock the pantry with some incredible deals from your Carroll Hy-Vee. Select Pepsi products, only $3.99 with the purchase of 3. Hormel boneless pork loins, just $1.99 per pound. Hy-Vee pasta, 12 to 16 ounce for only 98 cents. Check out new low prices on thousands of items only at your Carroll Hy-Vee.
Back here on the Pizza Ranch Coaches Show, talking Kemper volleyball right now. Joining me is head coach Rusty Wintermode. And coaches, always appreciate you joining us.
Well, good morning, Mr. Blakeman. It is a wonderful morning. I don't have to go anywhere. Well, actually, I am. I'm going to go see my dad and have a nice little visit there. But off for volleyball and just, again, had some good practice on Friday. Hope to have a good practice on Monday and get ourselves ready for Harlan.
Yeah, it's hard to believe, you know, that the postseason is here. The regular season pretty much wraps up today. I've got a couple of area teams playing in some tournaments today, and that'll wrap up the regular season for everybody. But you guys wrapped up on Thursday. You also played on Tuesday. You mentioned Harlan. You get them in the opening round of the postseason on Tuesday night. We'll have that covered for everybody. But you played them this past Tuesday at home, got a 3-0 sweep. You know, Casey and I were kind of talking before he went up and did that. And I was telling him, he's like, so do you think they show him everything? And I'm like, you know, to me, you go out and you try and defeat them and demoralize them a little bit, you know, and give them no confidence going in to the game coming up this coming Tuesday in the regionals. And it looks like by the scores, you guys able to do that a little bit.
Well, the way that we, I think, took care of the game, because Harlan, their record being 9-20 at the time, really wasn't any indication to me when I watched some video. They have some, you know, if they can get a, like any team, if they get a good pass, they have some size in the middle that can move a little bit and cause some problems. But we did a good job with aggressive serves. We didn't miss many, and we're able to keep it away from the libero, but really kind of attack where the setter had to try and really run and get something. So we got them out of system a lot, which allowed us to get a little more deep rolls and free balls. The only thing we didn't show them is we started working on a little bit more up-tempo offense, and we just didn't show them that. We just showed them our normal offensive set. So you're right, we kind of held back a little bit, if you want to call it that, but we still just say, you know what, serving is serving. We got to be strong at that. Serve, receive, we were very kind of slow at the beginning like we have been lately, but we really picked it up in games 2 and 3 and really gave Elsa and Carson some nice balls to get to our hitters. So really it was just keep it basic and simple. Let's take care of all the little small details of our life here let's try and come out of here with a victory. And sure enough, we did those little things. And now hopefully going into the first match of regionals against Harlan, we'll be able to show them a little bit something different. Maybe not have to, but if we have to, we will. And then get ourselves ready if we have an opportunity to play the next round after that and then the round after that. So, yeah, no, we didn't show them everything, but that wasn't really our intention. We just said keep it simple and silly. Let's just solve the little things in life and see what can happen.
Coach, I know you guys like to challenge yourselves all season long. The Hawkeye 10 does a lot of that for you, but you brought down Sergeant Bluff Luton, a ranked team, on Thursday night as you guys get ready to head into the postseason. Ended up dropping a 5-setter, so a tough loss for you guys, losing that 5th set 15-13. You were able to rally back after getting down 2-1, winning the 4th set, but what did you take away from that here, this is what we're doing good going into the postseason, but this is what we need to work on going into the postseason?
Well, I really did take a lot of things away from it. You know, the positives were we didn't look as bad on video as I thought we looked from the sideline. It seems like the sideline, we always see, oh, why'd we do that? Why'd we do that? You get to watch the video, it's like, okay, that wasn't as bad as I thought it was. The negative that I took away from it is that, you know, in set one, and, you know, I've become a little stat kind of freak lately, and I don't know why, and a lot of times I just worried about me, but all of a sudden I'm deciding, all right, I'm going to stat this game a little bit deeper and see where we're at. And, you know, set one, we lost 25-20, but you know what? We have 15 unforced errors, and out of those 15, we had zeros. In other words, on our serve receive, we gave away 6 points off of shanks out of bounds on serve receive. We gave away 5 points just on missed serves, and we're not talking net. We're talking out of bounds way deep. So you take away those 15, and maybe we cut them down to 4 or 5, it's our game. And then there's game two. Even though we had 10 unforced errors, we were able to put enough runs together and hold on to win 25-20. Game three, we were up 21-17, 16, somewhere there. Really not doing bad on unforced errors, and then all of a sudden unforced errors came about, and we had another five missed serves, and the missed serves came really kind of at the end. And we had six hitting errors, and then we also had three serve-receive errors that, again, allowed, if we cut those in half, we win that game. Game four, we won 25-16. We only had four unforced errors, and we served, received probably the best we had all night. And hitting errors were maybe, I think, one or two. And the hitting errors for me is just for hitting it out. Yeah, I'm going to hit it into a block. I don't necessarily count those in the sense of I count the error, unforced errors, the points that they just didn't earn. We gave it to them. And we had one missed serve. So that's the kind of thing I think they need to recognize. We do that type of thing every game. You guys are going to have a lot of success. And, you know, game five was really kind of the same. We only had, I think we had seven unforced errors, you know, through, you know, for half, you know, half of a normal match or a game. So that's too high, but yet we only lost 13-15. Now, were we upset? Yeah, they were upset. We were disappointed, but we all got to learn it happened, and we need to look at it, just let it go away for 24 hours and then take a look at things. And then you'll realize, okay, it wasn't as bad. Yes, we lost, but it wasn't as bad as everything says visually. We did some nice things. We end up with over 12, 14 blocks? So they ran a quicker style tempo offense. Yes, there were times we couldn't get to it, but yes, there were lots of times we got to it. So that's going to happen. We run a fast-paced offense. You're going to get some hits, and you're not going to get some hits. That's just the beast of the nature. And so realistically, we were disappointed, but yet I don't know if we needed to be disappointed because of what I was reading into the stats. And that really kind of opened my eye. Okay, we fix this, we're going to be a lot better. We fix this, we're going to be a lot better. And we're going to share that. We're going to share that information and make them realize we took a deep breath 24 hours later. Let's get back after it.
Coach, you mentioned the blocks. I just was going to tell you, Brianna Whitrock had 10 the other night in that match against Sergeant Bluff Luton, as she continues an outstanding season. But I wanted to quickly mention two freshmen here, Mariah Houghton and Colby Peter. Never easy for a freshman to step into varsity. It's a different pace, different speed. The athletes are just a little different than they were in the 8th grade and 7th grade level, but they've done a nice job of stepping in and performing very well.
Well, they have, and you know, God bless, you know, Boz, who has worked with them over the years, and still she's their mentor as they were coming in, and really the ones that have helped them blossom more than anybody else are her teammates. The setters are continually talking to them, and even Kaylee's always letting them know it's going to be fine, you know, shake it off, look them in the eye. So we've had to teach them how to look their teammates in the eye and not be afraid to talk, but also not be afraid to listen. So I really believe their blossom or their ability to grow this year, knowing that it's tough to go from eighth grade to varsity, is the fact that their teammates have allowed them to make mistakes. And we've allowed them to make mistakes without punishing them. You know, they're not seniors making the same mistakes. They're freshmen learning through the mistakes. And realistically, from game one to now, you know, if you're a freshman and you're getting that many chances at attack a night, you know your teammates and setters trust you. And I think that's made them feel a little bit more comfortable. So you can only imagine if their comfort level where they're at right now is where the success they're having, what they're going to be like next year and the year after that and the year after that. I don't think they're surprising the opponents anymore. At the beginning, yes, because they didn't really know what they were much made of. But now I think, you know, coaches know how to scout them a little bit more. So we've had to be a little more creative with them, and they've just absorbed it all. Now you have to go a little bit, not slower, but you have to be, don't give them too much. Okay, we're going to try this one thing to change if they do this, and then that's all you talk about. Because if you throw two or three things at a – freshman hitter working on a varsity level, you might as well call it rocket science sometimes, because it can confuse them. And so their teammates have allowed them to grow and absorb everything they do, and they've been excited for them, but they've also been that cheerleader and just the big sister, we're going to be fine. Not, I'm going to give you a hug and pat you on the back, and we're going to move on. And I think that's what has allowed them to fit into their role pretty good.
Well, Coach, I appreciate you joining us here today. Best of luck coming up with Harlan, and we'll see you again here soon.
All right, Mr. Blankman, it is always good to speak to you. And I'll be excited to speak to you next Tuesday as well.
You bet. And go Big Red as always. Head coach Rusty Wintermotes with the Kuemper volleyball team. We're back next right here on KCIM.
A highlight condo from your Mid-Iowa real estate team. 325 East Pleasant Ridge Road. 3-bedroom, 2.5-bath condo with open floor plan and vaulted ceilings. Beautiful built-ins in the living room along with a fireplace. Main level laundry, ample storage, and a 2-car garage. Open house this Sunday, October 20th from 11 to 1. All of this at 325 East Pleasant Ridge Road with a new price of $340,000. This is Brandon Snyder with another quality offering from Mid-Iowa Real Estate Team. Take your tour at midiowateam.com.
Dan Danner joining us here today to talk a little Carroll girls swimming as the Tigers headed over to Boone for a triangular this past Tuesday. They're on their way today down to Lewis Central, down, of course, in Council Bluffs. And, Coach, as always, good to catch up with you.
Yeah, it's good to be here.
You bet, Coach. It's hard to believe that the regular season beginning to wind down. We'll be in postseason before we know it, but you guys getting really busy right now with meets. As I mentioned, you were over at Boone on Tuesday. Got that one in. Again, we don't worry about team scores. The thing that jumped off to me was with the four girls swimming, you cut time in almost every event.
Yeah, just about. So Briley was the only one that didn't drop time, but she's coming back from a week off with pneumonia, so didn't expect her to drop any time.
No.
But she seems to be doing really well, you know, the rest of the week with practice. So hopefully today we'll see something impressive out of her. So, yeah.
How do you work a girl back into getting into shape? I mean, it's probably the same for the boys. Pneumonia is something that can take a lot out of you. So how do you work them hard enough to get them back into conditioning but not overdo it?
Yeah, you know, I don't know how it's going to go today. You know, we swim as much as I can. When I hear her coughing, she's done. You know, she'll sit out for 15, 20 minutes. We might get back in and try a little more and, you know, just kind of see how things go for her. So she's a tough one, though. She's been doing really good. You know, she starts to cough and I tell her to sit out and she's good, and she always wants to get right back in. So, I think it's going to go well for her, but we'll find out today.
How happy was she with her times in the 50 free and the 100 breast on Tuesday?
Yeah, actually her times weren't all that far off of her best times. So she was pretty happy considering, you know, it was a little bit harder to breathe. And, you know, I mean, she was good with that. There was no disappointment. She expected it. So, and I think she actually did a little better than she thought she would.
We'll move on now to Mady, who was one of those girls that dropped time, cut 4 seconds off her 200 free and also 3 seconds off of the 100 free. So seems like she's really getting comfortable. Is this like 3 meets in a row she's dropped time?
Oh, definitely, yeah. We worked her really hard, a lot harder than she wants to work, but that's all right. I mean, like we keep telling her, it's like, look, it's all paying off. You're getting faster and faster. And, you know, this is a whole new experience for her. So, you know, participating in a high school sport. And, you know, when she first started, she didn't realize she was going to have to compete. And, yeah, so she's been doing really good with it. Like I said, she just, you know, we keep working her hard and, you know, I don't let her rest a lot. And, yeah, she gets stronger, she gets faster.
Alexis Borkowski dropped 5 seconds in the 200 IM and also dropped 3 seconds in the 100 backstroke. Oh, where's she at confidence-wise? Because she seems to be swimming well.
Yeah, she's doing really good. She's confident of her event. She's strong. Her confidence level is way up there as far as her swimming events are. As far as helping cheer on the team.
That's a learning process, huh?
Yes. Not everybody's cut out to be a cheerleader.
Well, one of these days she'll be that vocal leader, right?
Yes, she will, and I am confident on that. So.
Yes. Coach, those three heading down today to swim at Lewis Central. Again, Charlie injured right now, so not able to go, so you won't have relays today. What's the events everybody swimming in today?
So I gave them their choice of events for today. So we got, Brawley's going to try that 100 fly and see how that goes. And she's been swimming it in practice and not real fast, but she's been able to make the distance. So I feel good about that race for her today. And she's also swimming the 50 free. And then Mady will swim the 50 free and the 100 free. And then Alexis will swim the 100 free and the 100 breast. So, like I said, I let them pick out their events for today. And, it should all go well. They're swimming exactly what they want to swim, and it should be a good day for them.
And hopefully it will be, Coach. I've got faith. Let's talk the team thing. I know we don't worry about it for you guys, but Abraham Lincoln, Lewis Central, Atlantic, Spencer, and Sioux City West, the other program, Sioux City Metro. If somebody's going down and kind of interested in some other swimmers that may do well or the team that may win it, is it Lewis Central, or who do they need to be watching out for?
So I'm pretty confident that Sioux City will take this meet for sure. Lewis Central will take second. Spencer will go third, Atlantic fourth, and we'll take fifth. So, yeah.
Pretty pleased with that then, I would imagine.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think we'll be fine. And the meet, we've seen all of these teams already. So, yep. The girls know what's out there, and they know how hard it's going to be for them. So, yeah, I think they're going to be fine with it.
Well, Coach, as always, we wish you the best of luck. Enjoy another long drive. Boone's your closest meet for the most part that you drive to, and that's still an hour away. So enjoy the long drive on Saturday, and we wish you the best of luck.
Yes, thank you.
You bet. Head Coach Deb Danner joining us again here on the Peach Ranch Coaches Show. We're back coming up next here on KCIM.
When you need a quick meal or one on the go, your Carroll Pizza Ranch has great deals for carryout and delivery. Order online and get 8 pizzas of country's best chicken with potato wedges for only $20. How about 2 large pizzas for $25? Or get 2 medium single topping pizzas, cheesy ranch sticks, and a cactus bread for just $20. Check out these deals and more at pizzaranch.com today and order hot and fresh. Pizza Ranch, located off Highway 30 in Carroll, open 7 days a week.
Oh, that's good.
Let's wrap up the Pizza Ranch Coaches Show here this morning on 1380 AM, 95.1 FM at KCIM. Jeff Plankman hanging out with you on this Saturday. We do want to thank Ryan Steinkamp again with the Kemper football team, Craig Rowetter with the Carroll football team, Thomas Nelson with the cross-country team for Kemper, Riley Ludwig, the head coach for the Carroll volleyball team, and Rusty Wintermote from the Kemper volleyball team, and Deb Danner with the Carroll girls swim team, all for joining us here today. Again, our player of the game banners, again, those are on the CB Sports Network website, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram pages for all 4 of our games last night. Our radio broadcast, the Carroll, the Coon Rapids Bear, the Kemper games, those audio broadcasts are available on the CB Sports Network under Listen to Past Games. That's on the features or the podcast drop-down menu. Our audio broadcast from the Arweva game last night against Booyer Valley, that's available on the CB Sports Network YouTube channel. We'll have game recaps with scores and stats from last night's football. Also from the stuff coming up today, those will be typed up on the Brinks Exterior Sports Report at sports.1380kcim.com.
And the New Way Ford and New Way Auto Group scoreboard show from last night is podcast as well on the podcast center at sports.1380kcim.com. We'll podcast this show shortly after it is wrapped up here in just a moment. Just got to run through today's schedule. Again, we've got the Rolling Valley Conference Volleyball Tournament starting this morning, just getting underway at 9 o'clock. That's being played at West Harrison. Arweva, Coon Rapids Baird, Exire Oakland, Kimbleton, Glidden Ralston, and Peyton Chernan all going to be in action today. In cross country, IK Manning girls and boys going to Missouri Valley, and in girls swimming, Carroll heads to Lewis Central today. That'll get underway at around noon. Thanks for tuning in here to the Pizza Ranch Coaches Show. Have a great weekend, everybody.